Gee, agus fáilte go dtí Clárelle don Cumann Lú Tlascéil ar seo ar Highland Radio. I'm Tom Comeagh and as always I'm with you until 9 o'clock. We've got a very busy programme lined up for you tonight. Later on in the programme we'll be hearing from Rory Gallagher, the Donegal senior football manager who is embarking of course on a new 4-year term in the Donegal hot seat. We'll talk to Rory about how his preparations are going for the start of the new season, which just throws in with the first game of the McKenna Cup on January the 8th, so a little time left. Also we talked to him about how it came about, this new 4-year term, on his plans to introduce young players, the squad for 2017, and the possible other retirements. As we know, Eamon McGee and Colin McFadden have retired. News this week that Carl Lacey and Frank Midlin are going to play on for at least 1 year. We'll also discuss about the changes of management. Of course, we heard last week about Richard Thornton of Tyrone and Cole Island coming in as the new team coach in place of Jack Coney. We'll tell us about that and about other changes as well, and really about his hopes and aspirations for 2017 and the years beyond. That's all coming up with Rory Gallagher in the second part of the programme. Our first guest tonight is Conor McDermott, who is the chairman of the St. Mary's Jade Club in Convoy, and they are launching their smoke-free club. It's an interesting initiative and a very novel one as well, next Saturday morning. So earlier this evening, I spoke to Conor.
Conor, maybe you could tell us about this smoke-free zone.
If I can take a little step back, first of all, it's part of a bigger healthy club initiative that St. Mary's Convoy is part of. That kicked off earlier in the year, and it's a national initiative kicked off with the HSE and partnering with Croke Park and then the Donegal County Board. And in effect, what they've done is selected a few clubs, and we're lucky enough to be one of them. And they're using the grassroots footprint that the club has in any community to promote a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they're using the HSE and then the county board, and it's very much a partnership where we've put a committee together, and I suppose sport by its nature promotes a healthier lifestyle, but it's about tapping into this and seeing what ideas we can stem on that. So to give you an example, and I don't like I'm chairman of the club, I don't want it to appear like I'm the only one, because we've got a fantastic committee there. There's about six of us on it. So as I said, it kicked off earlier in the year, but we've already done about five or six initiatives where, and I'll give you an example, we've had Operation Transformation, which has been aimed at getting parents that come down with their kids on a Friday evening to drop their kids off, and they've gone on a walk, and we have it away in every Friday. We've had we had a Leonard Lovina to promote this during the year and to launch it, and we had the health checks. We had two nurses in taking the pulse and heart rates for the people as well. Other things we had a cooking evening aimed at equipping the minor teenagers who might be heading off to college, that they might be able to go and as opposed to just boiling an egg, they can now make bolognese, whatever the case may be. So that was done in a local school.
Or pasta or something like that.
Something like that, right, yeah. So a more imaginative one then was that we had a 3-day camp during the summer after our cool camps, but aimed at an older age group of heightening their awareness of the drug and alcohol awareness, which is a very, very topical one. And that was very well received by not just the kids, but obviously the parents really appreciated that as well, you know. So the HSE would have come on board for those 3 days to do that.
Yeah.
So it was very much with that in mind, Tom, that the idea of the smoke-free club kind of was thrown about one night, and it spawned from that.
Yeah.
Brought it to the executive, and it was very well received there.
So it's not a crowd of anti-smoking cranks or that came up with the idea. No.
No, actually, on the contrary, what we're trying to do is tap into something that's there. You know, when we went to the executive, we discovered that even though there's some former smokers there, there was actually no smoker there. So they were naturally on board then. So then it kicked off, and we got a bit of publicity around it in September, nearly by accident rather than design. And as you know, Tom, we host an awful lot of neutral games. So we could tell people were coming in that heard about it on your own radio station and the national airwaves as well, and the media, and they were very much, I suppose, the imagination of it and the uniqueness of it, it generated a lot of interest. But definitely, on the whole, people, smokers and non-smokers alike, have been very, very positive. So it's kind of with that we're having Saturday's, you know, launching of this, you know, the opportunity just to formally kick it off, if you will, based on the good groundwork that's been put in place, you know.
Yeah, and tell me, how is it going to operate?
So it's quite simple. As you know, most clubs in Ireland, we're no exception. The club rooms are smoke free anyway. So it's a case of the aspiration is that we put up signage to have the whole campus from the gate in as a smoke free area, you know. But as I say, even already we've noticed where people would have gone over to the gate outside the gate, because it's as close as anywhere we're lucky that way, it's as close as anywhere on the campus. They walk outside the gate at half time to smoke the cigarette, whatever the case may be, you know.
So are you going to provide a smoking area, a zone outside the ground?
Well, obviously
impromptu.
It's impromptu, but it's all a public area, so you don't have too far to walk to and there's been ideas of having the blue line like the hospital across the gateway or something like that. But you know, we may have that's been suggested to us as a matter of interest. But signage would be our main way of promoting that, you know. Whilst we have the policy, this is an aspiration, and we're using this to promote a healthier lifestyle, and we're relying on people buying into that.
So it's more kind of for a healthy lifestyle rather than for to save the ozone layer or whatever.
Well, hopefully one feeds the other. No, definitely the aspect is the healthier lifestyle. Nowadays we're used to most areas, cinemas and restaurants and buses and planes. You know, there's so much smoke free as it is. Anyway, this is just a natural extension of that. You know.
Yeah, and you say the reaction has been a very positive one. Any negative reaction?
No, thankfully, you know, nothing so far, you know. It's been a very healthy conversation on it. Smokers have inquired about it in terms of what they would need to do. But nobody has objected or anything close on that, you know. So no, we're coming at it from the positive side,
you know. And of course, obviously, you know, because I haven't seen statistics in a while, but a big worry for people who are for a healthier lifestyle than anti-smoking in terms of a healthier lifestyle, have been a little concerned that a lot of younger people are taking up smoking. So this is obviously an education thing.
That's 100% time you've nailed it there. It's about using that footprint. Now, you know, we're lucky, and it's funny, since this came to pass, probably, you know, the idea came up, even around the ground, it has been striking that there has been so few cigarette butts. For, you know, traditionally they'd have been the scourge of people trying to keep the area clean, of trying to pick them up. So, you know, that I think over the years, I'd like to think that the number of smokers has been declining, you know, now, albeit at youth level, but we'd like to think among our youth teams that, you know, smoking is definitely the exception now.
And tell me, is it a forced, as you said, you're one of the two clubs, I think Neebwera in the Lower Rosses is another club in Donegal that has been selected for this healthy club. I'm not sure if there's another in the county, but are you the first to come up with this idea of smoking, of a smoke-free zone?
From what I believe, Tom, we're the second club in Ireland. There's a club down in Wexford that is there already. So we're the second club in Ireland, I've been told at this point.
Yeah. And as you say, you have your launch on Saturday. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, so we've hopefully got the invitations out to everyone now, anyone who wants to come from the GAA family. But this is very much part of, you know, our footprint in the community as well. So we're inviting local people along. We'll have Aoife O'Brien from Croke Park. Sean Dunyan is coming from the county board. We'll have reps from the HSC. We're looking to get a local GP. Our committee will be there. We're hoping to have a lot of our own membership, obviously. But, it's about just, you know, formally, you know, coming along on the morning and giving us the opportunity to give some oversight as to what it is, and have a cup of tea and a scone, you know, and formally launch the initiative.
And tell me, from the non-GAA community in your area, and from the non-GAA young people in your area, have you got a reaction? Or,
well, I suppose that novelty thing definitely came out from the media attention that this got in September. As I said, it made the national media then, so it's been positively regarded there. But I'd like to think that we have a good footprint and representation in the community. I know, so for instance, every August we have our 5K, like a lot of clubs, but we'd have used that as another example of where we can be in the community, and that our local athletic club would be very, very cooperative with that and help us out, even in terms of staging that as well. So, you know, so definitely all the things we're doing here are very well received.
Yeah, so this health and well-being initiative been promoted by the GAA nationally and through the counties and whatever, you know, it's another side to the GAA that people maybe don't see, you know, that they are promoting healthy lifestyles.
It's a huge one, and, you know, it's I suppose it's about, you know, the GAA like to think contributes to the community, but equally without the community, the GAA wouldn't exist either. So it's that symbiotic approach of being able to get the pulse of what's going on in the community. And as you know, Tom, and an awful lot of stuff around here, you know, there's the whole challenges with suicide and suicide awareness, and that's a big program that we'd have used the club to promote as well through the HSE services, and we'd have hosted nights there as well because the whole of every community in Donegal and every club in Donegal, we've been impacted by that over the years, you know. Mm. So you can't exist in a bubble. You know, to be successful, you have to be able to be a service to avail of that as well, and to give, frankly, to that, because that hopefully will help the GAA club, you know, help what we're giving, we'll get back in return, hopefully.
Yeah. The GAA has come a long way since me and you down in North Roscommon were having a butt outside the gate or inside the club room or even I've seen an advert having a puff in the dugout.
Oh, Tom, you probably go back far enough when those now older generations than us, Tom, I'm sure you'll agree, but we haven't cigarettes at half time even, you know. So no, those days are gone, hopefully.
Look at Conor, thanks a million, and hopefully the launch goes well for you on Saturday. It's at 11 o'clock, isn't that right?
Yeah, 11 o'clock on Saturday morning.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get more out of your run with a great range of new footwear from all the leading brands in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA agus Falter Rash, good you and Clare coming look last game in a shocking show. And let me Tom Comack with you as always here on a Wednesday night. We're with you at 9 o'clock. Coming up shortly, we'll be hearing from Rory Gallagher, the Donegal manager, looking forward to the new season and indeed the next couple of seasons as he begins his 4-year term, new term as Donegal manager. But first, the public notice in from Donegal County Council. Some of you who are following the programmes tonight may be aware that there was an accident on the N13, that's the Bort Road, to Letterkenny to Derry Road at Bort. And just a notice in from Donegal County Council that there's so the road is closed due to that accident at Bort, and there are a number of diversions are in place. Northbound traffic divert via Derry at Newton, right? So you take the Derry Killay Road stop, obviously. And southbound HGVs divert via Derry at Bridge End. And southbound cars divert at the Bort Chapel. The diversions are in place under further notice. That's a notice in from Donegal County Council. And it's a pretty wet and damp and dreary night out there. And we have a notice in from a driver just advising people that the Letterkenny to Lifford Road is particularly treacherous and a lot of water logged on the road tonight. So just if you are out there and on that road, and indeed on all roads, just take care. Of course, the weather getting a lot more damp now and a lot darker at night as well. So just take care. Before the break there, we heard from Conor McDermott, the chairman of the St Mary's Club and Convoy, of course, on their initiative. That's the smoke-free club, which has been launched on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. So we wish them well on that. And as I said, coming up now, Rory Gallagher, we're going to be joined by him. Of course, Rory is the Donegal senior football manager, and he's embarking on a 4-year new term in the hot job. And I spoke to him yesterday.
Well, Rory, the new season almost upon us. You'll never find to January coming around, and the McKenna Cup followed by the league. So at this stage, I suppose a lot of plotting and a lot of planning been done.
Yeah, look, at this time of year, you're getting together. I suppose your panel, you're speaking to players about their whereabouts and getting them on training schedules and preparation for training. And look, we can get back at it at the start of December, and while it's always a tough month to get going, you know, you need to get a bit of work in there in order to be in middling shape for the new year, you know.
You're starting off afresh nearly again, a new 4-year term. Obviously, you're going to give it a big commitment for 4 years.
Aye, well, look, we take it one day at a time, and, you know, we'll definitely, you know, we'll be looking to I suppose, bring in a lot of new players. We feel that, look, we've got an awful lot of mileage out of a hardcore group of players over the last number of years, and you know, a number of them, you know, will obviously still be involved, and it remains to be seen just, you know, who may still end up retiring. But look, we give everybody their own time to make that decision. But yes, we definitely be bringing in an awful lot of young players, with obviously a big focus on 2017, but also building towards 2018 as well, you know.
Yeah, but it is generally accepted that it is a rebuilding job.
I understand that, you know, but look, at the same time, you know, from my point of view, I'm really happy with the quality of players we have. We've got, you know, 24, 25 of last year's panel, no matter what, are going to be involved very heavily, and I'm very pleased with the quality of those players. With a number of them were new last year, that certainly, you know, found out what it's about at the level that we'd like to be operating at. So we'll be looking very much to hit the ground running in the McKenna Cup and the National League in 2017.
Yeah, and is that the reason why you felt you needed a four-year term? Because it is going to be a process of rebuilding and going to take a few years.
Just at the end of the year, you know, we're reviewing everything, Tom, and I suppose I would have sat down with a number of the players and where did they want to go to, and they felt that, you know, we very much have to go with a clear focus, very much like, you know, go back to the end of 2010 or 2011, where we look to build over a period of time. It'll see the end of some years. If I was to see out that period, we'd see the end of a lot of players' careers. You know, they definitely, you know, a major part of a number of others. So it was felt that clear focus and a clear vision for a sustained period of time was the best for people concerned, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned still quite a lot of the players from the last few years. On retirements, the only two we know of is Eamon McGee and Colin McFadden. Is there any others, or do you know?
No, there's nobody's declared yet, you know. There's a few people, they're looking at their bodies, a few of them are getting scans and one thing or another, but no, there's nobody at this stage has said for certain that they're definitely out, you know. I do expect a couple more anyway, you know, but we just said we've had a time pass. A lot of people are not that long finished up with their clubs. I know they might have been out of the club championship, but they were tipping about at league football, and they wanted maybe, you know, a 4 or 5 week period of, like, you know, real downtime away from club and county to gather their thoughts and see what's best for them and for Donegal in 2017, you know.
But you are expecting another one or two, are you?
I think there'll be one or two anyway, you know. It may be injury permitting then and a couple of lads, but definitely some of them have intimated that they're very keen to go as well, you know.
To go on for another year, you mean?
Yeah, to play on for another year. Yeah.
And you've appointed a new trainer as well, Richard Thornton from Tyrone. How did that come about?
I suppose Jack had been with us for two years, and you know, we're just talking about moving things forward, and he stepped away, and you know, Richie's somebody who, you know, I know over the last number of years, and had felt maybe discussed possibly bringing him involved last year, but he's involved now this year. He's a PE teacher there in Quill Island, so you know, the summer's free. From that point of view, it'll be a big bonus to have him, you know.
Yeah. Any other changes to the back room?
James Galler has been unable to commit, you know, from a goalkeeping point of view. James, who, you know, done an awful lot of good work with the keepers over the last 2 years. You know, he had Paul after 2014 and then very much Mark Anthony last year. It's unfortunate James wasn't able to commit, and we're very grateful for what he gave, but we have Paul Gallan. You know, he's been a great servant to Donegal, both as a player and been involved as a coach under Brian McIver. So Paul stepped in as well, you know.
Yeah. So that otherwise it's as was.
Otherwise, yeah, there's been a couple of changes in the medical, but otherwise, yeah, as.
And have you put a panel together yet?
Yeah. Listen, we got players on programs, but we'll be leaving it another. We'll be really leaving it until the start of the training commences before we finalise the panel. We have a number of players doing gym work and just working away. It's a wee bit early at this stage. We haven't even had a trial game, you know.
Yeah, and we know, we hear on the grapevine of quite a lot of the minor team from 2 or 3 years ago coming in and being brought in into a development squad. Players like Owen McGettigan, Ethan O'Donnell, Niall O'Donnell. I even heard Mark Coyle of Burt mentioned. Are they going to be part of it, or are they just in development squads at this stage?
Those are all players we spoke to now. You know, we have Owen McGettigan on a programme there just at the minute. Owen's obviously still at school. Mark Coyle, you impressed us very much with. Burt is involved as well. Ethan O'Donnell, yeah, is another one that we've been. We have Aidan McLaughlin from last year's minor team, and the McCormick, Jason McGee from last year's minor team. But at this stage, all they're doing is a bit of gym work, Tom, you know.
Yeah, and obviously they have to be developed and go on strength and conditioning programmes as well.
Yeah, that'd be a big part of it for those guys, physically getting their bodies in shape. I think everybody, you know, who has seen them play, and, you know, understands they're very good footballers. A massive step to get into an inter-county team, you know, and anywhere throughout Ireland, but a team operating out of Division 1 at 18, 19 years of age. But we'll definitely get them working towards it. And look, we've an awful lot of last year's under-21s, and indeed some that are, many that are under 20 at the minute going into their last year, under 21 available to us as well, you know.
Yeah, and of course the under 21 comes round as well, so obviously you're going to lose some of those to that as well, obviously for the early part of the season anyway.
Ah, yeah, listen, they've got a big draw. They've Tyrone, I think away to Tyrone, you know, at mid-March, and a number of them will be training with ourselves for periods, and obviously they'll go to under 21s for games and one thing or another, but it's a big challenge, I suppose, at this age, just, you know, and they'll manage the college between, you know, college work and actually Sigerson's and Freshers as well.
When can you get back to training?
The 1st of December, I think, is our official date. I think the teams that exited on whatever date in August that we did are officially back on the 1st of December, that you get a collective pitch session then, you know.
Yeah, and obviously then it'll be beginning preparations for the McKenna Cup. I think you made no great secret of it. You're not a great admirer of the McKenna Cup. And I'm not, maybe I reward that, not an admirer of the time year has played.
Listen, it's a difficult time of year, you know. It's a competition that obviously, you know, yeah. You just don't have all your players, whether it's older, experienced players coming back a bit later, which is natural, or whether it's, I expect this year there's going to be a huge amount of players that are college tied for ourselves that will be expected to play for the colleges. So it's not something we put a lot of thought into at this stage. We'll work back from, we're playing Kerry, I think, in the start of the league, which is a really exciting league game to look forward to. The 5th of February, so that's what we'll be focusing on.
And of course, Antrim in the Championship again, avoided the preliminary rounds out later again. Does that shape your thinking as well in terms of your preparations and how when you get into the type of training you do and your training schedule?
Very much so, Tom. You know, we're led to believe that, you know, likely we're going to be out on the 20th of May, although I think there's an Ulster Council meeting. There's proposed maybe to bring our game forward a week and switch over the Tyrone game, which may mean we're out on the 21st of May. And that's going to be decided tonight, Tuesday. So, you know, we'll work towards that. It's only a week's difference, whatever way it goes. But, yeah, look, number one, good to be not in the preliminary round. And number two, it's obviously very good to be drawn at home. We've had a very good record in league and championship in Ballybuffet over the last number of years. The boys love playing there, so that's a big plus.
Mm. So what's the first objective when you get together in December?
The first objective, I suppose, is just to build a bit of fitness. We'll work on you know, each individual and see how to get the most out of them. That's what we'll be doing in the early part of the year. Each individual will be looking to improve themselves, both fitness-wise and, you know, when they'll work on their strengths and what we perceive as their weaknesses as a footballer, you know.
Mm. And those players that maybe are still contemplating what they're going to do, when do you expect word from them? Will it be later in the year, or are you going to give them plenty of time?
We get plenty of time, you know. We've met a number of them and we had a chat about, you know, my plans and how I see things going forward. Look, I'd expect, you know, really by early December, we'll have a very clear picture on who's keen to go, you know.
Yeah. So, looking forward to it, obviously, as you said, you took on a 4-year term. It's a rebuilding job. I suppose we have to ask supporters for a certain amount of patience as well.
Look, supporters, you know, are obviously big fans of the team, more than ourselves. Listen, you know, I'm not looking any further than 2017, Tom. We definitely look to develop younger players, but we'll be looking at those players to make an impact very soon. But, you know, from my point of view, I'm very happy with the squad I have to be competitive in Division 1 and to be striving to win Ulster Championships in 2017. And look, that's going to be the goal, the same way it was last year and the year before.
That's Rory Gallagher there speaking to me yesterday, looking ahead to the new season and, his thoughts and plans for this next season and indeed the next couple of seasons. Of course, he's back for a new year term. And he mentioned there where there was talk that Donegal's game was going to be brought forward with, or put back. It's actually, in fact, a decision of the Ulster Council last night. The game now against Antrim has been put back by a week. Are brought forward by a week, in actual fact. And the game will now be played on the 21st of May next year, with the Derry-Tyrone game going to the Sunday, the 28th. So that's a switch of Donegal and Antrim and Derry and Tyrone. From me, Tom Comack, from my special guest, Conor McDermott of St Mary's Convoy, and from Rory Gallagher and Jimmy Stafford on sound, Gudjian Shachtan, Zahogan, Slán agus Manon.